So the President of the United States, as Commander-in-Chief, takes essentially a unilateral military action over the weekend. The bombs start falling in Libya. Is the U.S. Constitution another bit of collateral damage here once again?
Was it really that unprecedented? I don't think it was that unprecedented.
No, it's not unprecedented, but yeah. It does say explicitly in the Constitution, Congress has the power to declare war, from the police action euphemisms of the Korean War back in 1950 to the Gulf of Tonkin pretexts of Vietnam, the congressional authorization rituals in Iraq. Now it looks as though the Arab League is as much as Congress. It has the power to declare war. We got Arab League approval, Todd Zwillick, to ask for military action. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Where's the Constitution in all this, and where are lawmakers shrieking about this?
Well, John, let me toss it back on you for a second. When was the last time Congress actually used its constitutional authority to declare war?
It was World War II, 1941.
1941, exactly.
Pearl Harbor.
December 7th, precisely. So every single time, almost every single time, a president sends troops into war ever since, there's carping and there's people upset in Congress because Congress has essentially given this power over.
Right, but there's been no constitutional amendment. I don't understand. It seems like we've really enshrined a ritual at this point. I mean, Vietnam seemed like an atypical case when I was a little kid, but no longer.
Well, there's a law on the books. It's called the War Powers Act, passed in 1973, vetoed by President Richard Nixon, and then he was overridden a short couple of weeks later. Basically, the War Powers Act says the president can't order troops into battle unless the vital national security interests of the United States are at stake. But then the president, if he does order troops into battle, can do it, has 60 days before he has to go to Congress to get approval. Now, you're right.
Let me back you up there. Troops into battle. That doesn't mention Tomahawk cruise missiles, which are robot bombs.
Right. The principle is the same. The principle is using American assets in war or in a military action overseas. I think, you know, it doesn't have to be so-called boots on the ground, another euphemism. Jets in the air, ships in the harbor, missiles in the sky, it all qualifies.
So the goal of the president is to make these military actions short, less than 60 days, like a Grenada, in, out, done.
And then you don't have to get congressional approval. If it's going to go longer than that, you do. Not only that, under the War Powers Act, the president has 48 hours after giving the order to notify Congress. And he actually did that yesterday, sent a letter to John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, and the President Pro Tem of the Senate, notifying them of the UN Resolution 1973, notifying them of the perceived nature of Muammar Gaddafi, and saying the United States was part of an international coalition that was authorized to prevent him harming civilians. And also telling them that basically saying that this action is in the national security and foreign policy interests of the United States. And that statement is important
because the Arab League says so and the Security Council says so. Todd, I don't want to turn you into a law professor here, but you know about this stuff. How come the Security Council resolution doesn't constitute a treaty, which in that case would require advice and consent of the Senate?
That's an excellent question, one that this non-law professor doesn't have an answer to. What I do have an answer to is the difficulty of the War Powers Resolution, because it's always set up this separation of powers struggle between Congress and between president. You saw it in 2002 with the authorization of use of force in Iraq. A lot of people voted for it, but they didn't like it. What constitutes a declaration of war? What constitutes the vital national security interests of the United States? Whatever the president says it does.
That's the
problem.
I got a law professor for you, okay?
Oh,
this guy
great.
Back in 2007 said, quote, "The president does not have power under the Constitution to unilaterally authorize a military attack in a situation that does not involve stopping an actual or imminent threat to the nation." Law professor, Barack Obama, University of Chicago Law School.
And presidential candidate running against a president who was extremely unpopular for doing pretty much the exact same thing as what you've just seen, although a much broader action, at least so far, involving a lot more U.S. troops, a lot more people on the ground, and a lot more years and a lot more money.
Well, what do lawmakers say about this?
Well, I want you to listen to Jim Webb.
Okay.
You know, over the weekend, there was plenty of criticism. A lot of it was from the fringes, liberal Democrats, conservative Republicans hammering the president. This is Jim Webb. He's a total centrist and a military man. Listen to his criticism, and a Democrat, by the way.
We have been sort of on autopilot for almost 10 years from now in terms of presidential authority in conducting these type of military operations absent the meaningful participation of the Congress. We have not had a debate.
part of the frustration here, John, apart from the war powers resolution and the ongoing separation of power struggle over war powers, is that this operation was launched while Congress was on recess. They were out of town. Indeed, the president was out of town himself. So a lot of members of Congress feel like they were completely, physically, totally out of the loop.
Well, it feels like a constitutional dodge to me. If lawmakers aren't upset about this, our listeners sure are. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, thanks so much.
Sure thing.